Hello, everyone. You are listening to my podcast. This is Sean from the Old Clap Lady podcast. All month long for November, we are celebrating National Entrepreneurship Month. And this week, I have another opportunity to have a discussion with the best sister in the world, Deborah. And this month, we're going to talk about my father and his entrepreneurial side. Last week, we talked about our mother, and this week is the father. And Deborah, of course, you've known Dad longer than I have. And so there are certain things that you and I were chatting about before we started the podcast. And like I was telling you how he had told me that he was a salesman for the products Watkins, because I do remember Watkins had a big presence. Watkins products had a big presence. The black pepper and the cough syrup and the liniment or something like that. And the vapor rub, you could use that for anything. And then I actually remember the part when he was a super or a building maintenance. He would do the repairs, he would go around and collect the rent, put the garbage cans out in front until that became my job, which I hated putting those tin cans out there. And then he eventually bought a building tenement in the Bronx, right? And what was it, like 2, 4, 6, it had like 10 people in the building.
But he 10 apartments.
Huh?
10 apartments.
10 apartments, I'm sorry, in the building. And so those are the things that I can remember. So, I mean, if it's anything else that you can remember or elaborate on some of those things, take it on.
Okay. Thank you for having me back. First, I want to acknowledge you for setting up this podcast and following through on it, you know, and I'm not letting anyone talk you out of it, because for the life of me, I couldn't understand why you chose the name you did. But it sticks. It seems to fit you. So, you know, thank you for your vision and your commitment to it.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. So good.
Okay. All right. Now, to go back into what I would call the strength of the, well, he was the strength of, I would say, the family, even though he wasn't my legal father. He was your father. But the early thing I remember about your father was, I know he used to work for a cleaning company that do the studios. And when I meant the studios, it might have been CBS or one of them, with people, like they would have the shows and they would clean up the television set after.
Mm.
And that was in Manhattan. He used to do that from like 3 to 11. But he was eventually, how I met him, he moved into our building. He moved on the first floor. He eventually became the custodian to the building he moved in, the one next door. Mm-hmm. He had like 3 buildings on the block he was taking care of.
Right, 1220, 1216, and
1212.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And eventually in that building that he moved in, he went on to get like a couple of more apartments in there, because he started renting rooms to people. And each apartment like had like 3 bedrooms.
Yeah.
So he was renting rooms. Matter of fact, he was renting rooms in the actual apartment he lived in himself. So like he had that sort of entrepreneurial spirit. And he was always like creative, because in his job requirements and duties, he was always like, he had this big workshop and he was always inventing some sort of contraption.
Right.
Make his job easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember one thing he invented. Maybe if we were thinking along those lines, he could have made some money, because I know in 1978, when the pooper scoop laws came in, where people had to clean up after their dog.
Right. Yep.
He made some sort of contraption that, you know, assisted him with that. You know, it was
or something, like the scooping part or something. Right.
Yeah, he had a small industrial can. It was a something he bought, some sort of industrial product, and he cut the can. It was a square can, but he cut it, and he made it like it was some sort of an attached a pole to a little stick, and it became something like a some sort of shovel like thing. Yeah. You know, and like he would, you know, like worked on that. He probably could have made some money, but you know, he was just thinking about, you know, making his job easier. You right. know, yeah. So he was very creative in making things, grills, and you know, for barbecue. But to get back on the entrepreneur side, you know, he was renting rooms. Yep. You know, single tenants and in couples.
Yeah.
Until like. He continued to work. He had a little side hustle where he would do like a floor polishing. And that's when people had the wood floors. He had a machine.
Yeah.
And they would sand down these floors and I guess they called varnish them and, you know, redo them. He was very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
He had painting, plastering.
Yep. I know.
He was doing on the side.
Yep. He would take me with him to some of the apartments and stuff, and we would have to plaster and paint and put the primer down. And even today, I know how to do it. I might choose not to do it, but I know how to do it.
Yeah, the plumbing, you know, changing locks.
Huh?
Yes, and changing locks, you know, handyman services that he would do for people. He had little cards printed up.
Yep. I mean, I know how to change locks. I've changed locks in my house. I know how to do plumbing. That's why a lot of times when being a woman, when I call someone, because I remember I was renting an apartment a few years back, and it was something with the toilet. And they came to the apartment and they thought that because I was a woman, that it was something as easy as plunging the toilet. And I had to let him know, no, what you need to do is you need to go and get a snake to do X, Y, Z. And
that's right.
And so the custodian, he was shocked, but it was because of, you know, our father that I learned those things.
That's right.
Yeah.
It came in very handy too. And he was also good with electrical appliances, mm-hmm. you know, so fixing. If a cord was damaged on something, he, you know, used to know how to change the cord, you know, he changed electrical pieces. So, you know, he was a jack of quite a few trades.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, when he was the super, you know, and when he eventually bought the building, we had to write the checks to pay the bills, and I would have to put the bill, like the rent receipts in the people's boxes, and you know, he was
account,
to manage the books and things like that.
But you know, what's a wonderful thing when you can turn around to your landlord and finally buy the building that you used to live in as a tenant?
Yeah,
because I think he actually bought it from his landlord.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember. Wow. That's amazing.
And it's a point of saving things because, you know, just because you got money, right? A person has money. I mean, he didn't have a car. He didn't buy a lot of fancy clothes.
No.
You know, what I remember about him is his jeans, and he had a big key ring and looked like his pants were going to come down because the key ring was so heavy.
Yes.
And, you know, it was jingle, you know, and he just bought his necessities.
Right.
You know, things to get by. And people, I mean, was amazed when he turned around and ended up the landlord of a building. It was about saving your money because he always tried to be better, you know, live better, do better. He used to try to instill that in, you know, us as children, and he definitely put it in your head to do better.
Yeah, I mean, just from being around him, I mean, I have to admit, I didn't always appreciate it when I was a kid because I wanted to be outside with my friends, you know.
And uh-huh.
I didn't appreciate the fact of having to, you know, wash the sidewalk with the hose or have to go downstairs and turn on that boiler. Oh, that thing used to scare me so bad because it was so loud. But
yeah.
being a homeowner now, I really appreciate it because there's just certain things that I know how to do. I mean, even though we have YouTube, but just to be able to say, I know this, and then now I'm trying to teach it to O'Kenna, you know, and like the other day, O'Kenna, he put together this fireplace TV stand all by himself. And he was talking to one of his friends and like, oh, I have to go build a shelf for my mom. And they were baffled. And he was like, oh, it's easy because I've done it before. So I'm just trying to pass that down. And even when it comes to the innovation, you know, with the pads I've had at IBM, but Deborah, you've had innovations as well. You know, you remember the, how you used to roll your hair? And I know we're kind of getting off topic, but we're talking about the entrepreneurial spirit, you know, because how you used to roll your hair, you know, and now they have these wands where you just roll your hair and you tighten up the wands, you know,
We had some things, we had like paper bags. Mm-hmm. It looked like that thing, buckwheat. You was a little wrestle. It was a brown paper bag.
Yeah.
And you would tear them in pieces and you would roll your hair with it and tie it in knots. That's the poor man's rollers. Right. And then they came out with stuff like that years later. Somebody made an idea out of it. And, you know, it made a lot of money. But one thing about getting to your father, you know, majority of his kids, because, you know, you got older brothers and sisters,
right,
and they were grown by the time you came along. You know, like, all of your brothers and sisters went to college. And I don't know how he made that happen.
Well.
But, you know, your sisters and brothers, he made sure.
Right.
That he contributed to some sort of education for them. I know one of your older sisters is a principal. Used to be a principal of a elementary school up there in the Bronx.
Right.
PS 90. Mm-hmm. You know? So you know.
Well, I mean, if he told them what he told me, then it because he said when you turn 18, you are going to college, you know, or you're going to get a job. But you're going to do something at 18. So to me, I knew education was important to him. Education today, I think, is not as important. But I instill in O'Kenna that no matter what, people can take something away from you, but they can never take away your education. People will try to downplay, because I've even had situations where people try to downplay my education. But I let them know, you can never, ever downplay my sacrifice. Because it's a lot. And, you know, education is very, very important. Training is important too, but education is something when you have that piece of paper in your hand, when you realize that you made a sacrifice. And I know that that was important to him, you know, but I mean, but truth be told, I went back to college because you were going to college too, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Lord knows, you know, like you were on your own with a lot of your positive thinking, you know, because we made some detours and some mistakes, but I'm glad that you survived and you did what you had to do. You know, another point that I wanted to bring up about your father, but it you know, I'm getting old and escapes me right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of his many great talents, but I guess it'll come back to me some other time. You know,
like me, I don't count past 39. You should be like me. Stop counting. You know.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
You know, but you know, it's go
this
ahead.
This is the point I wanted to bring up. You know, like when you talk about sometimes people try to downplay your successes. You know, because like your father lived in the same neighborhood for many years,
right,
like going on 20 years or better, right? He moved around in the 60s and moved out like in the 80s. You know, you have people who didn't see him as anything but a super contender, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when he came up a business or building owner, you know, people actually hate on you.
Yep.
They, you know, like they were so envious because they thought they had so much going for them.
Right.
And to see that he walk around there and, you know, he got an account, he's a landlord, You know, he's continuing. I mean, he remained humble. He did a lot of repairs on his property himself. He yep. still kept his little super job as the landlord, too. For the mother building, he didn't know.
Wow.
Yes. So, you know, like, and some people, you know, they couldn't understand that because they thought they were in a position to be better than somebody.
Right. Yep. I mean, the word of God says the first shall be last and the last shall be first.
Yes.
You know, so and in that case, that's what happened to him. And you also mentioned humility. And that's something that the Bible talks about. It's important to remain humble. You know, you don't have to always, you know, talk about everything you have.
You know, there was this joke your father said. There was this guy lived across the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he would brag. Me and my wife, we had lobster downtown. We went to see Bubbling Brown Sugar, and we took a carriage ride in the park.
Yep.
And your father said, I ain't went nowhere. I had a bowl of beans, and I'm just as full as you are.
Yep.
So, you know, he had a way of living his life, and he enjoyed it, and he didn't care what people thought he should be. He knew who he was. And, you know, people that brag on things were actually trying to be something they weren't.
That is true. And, you know, that still exists today. You know, I mean, I think I've gotten to a point where I just, the experiences that I'm going through, I don't feel like I need to brag about everything because, for one, I know that it wasn't me who did it. It was God that did it through me. You know,
the strong belief in God.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that's going to help us survive these times, you know?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, and, you know, we have to depend on God because, and but then, like, when you hear people talk like, oh, I'm traveling to this place, I'm traveling to that place. At one point, I used to be jealous, but then I sit back and I look and I'm like, you know what? I'm okay because I've set certain goals for myself in my life. While I haven't accomplished all those goals, I've set certain goals in my life and I see my goals coming to pass, you know, and where I am is not where they are. You know, everybody has a different path, you know, and as long as they're okay with what they're doing, I'll be okay with what I'm doing.
Hey,
you know. And I know it's, I know we keep going off topic, but you know, sometimes you just gotta flow where it flows, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I know that, you know, just trying to tie everything up. I mean, I know that there are things that Dad used to try to instill in me, you know, he instilled in me that even when it comes to being married or whatever, he said you can be married, but you still always want to have your own, you know, right? You want to make sure you work hard for what you get in life, you know, and just be prepared. You know, I don't know if there's any lessons or pitfalls or something that you can share with what he went through when it came through his walk in entrepreneurship.
Well, I think, you know, the strength, because, you know, like I call it the mole people, you know, they come up in a time where they had a lot of things that are available to youth today wasn't available to them. I think your father was 1909 or one of them.
1910.
It's like 100. Yeah. So, like, that was 110 years ago, right? And wow.
Yeah.
You know, like, so many missed opportunities, you know, like, education. You know, he may not have had the best education, but he was smart.
Right.
It didn't stop him from succeeding and learning about things. You know, so, you know, where you at don't necessarily, or what you have don't define your outcome. It's just,
true.
You know, what you wanted to invest and put in the pot. And, you know, he was always willing to invest in someone. He would talk to the kids. One thing about your father, he wasn't them mean looking supers. You didn't mess with his building.
No, you didn't.
You know, you not drop nothing on that sidewalk. You got to pick that up, Mr. Regal. you know, they were Mr. Reed. So, like, he was a stern person, but he was fun. Everybody right. on the block loved it. And he would talk to you, you know? And right. he, you know, tried to talk to me. And, you know, when there's one thing, I think he was the first person who said this to me. And I never know these two words could exist in a sentence. Your father always told me, he said, you know, you're a pretty black gal. And I didn't think it was no such thing because you couldn't be black and you couldn't be pretty, at least in my eyes.
Right.
Like, so, you know, like,
with the colorism.
Yeah, so that, yes. So, like, you know, from in my self-image, what I thought of myself, how could these two things exist in a sentence? But, you know, he always said that, you know, and, you know, and it's true.
Yeah, it's true. You all right looking?
You know, back then at that point. But, you know, like, you know, it's true that he planted that seed because I never thought of myself as that, you know?
Right.
And, you know, like, trying to get us to go to school. And he would used to ask me what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be, you know? But, you know, like, it was aggravating sometimes, but, you know, because I want to go outside and play.
Right, right. But he was planting that seed, like you said. I mean, and today with all the colorism, you know, people feel like some women, and it's sad that they feel like they have to be a certain complexion or have a certain hair type to be beautiful. But beautiful is what you make yourself out to be. Beauty starts on the inside and then works its way out. That's true beauty, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
It will emulate on the outside. And people will say, oh, wow, you know, you're glowing, you're glowing. But that's because of how you feel on the inside. And that's something that, you know, dad implanted in you. And like you said, you really didn't understand back then, but he was planting the seed.
Yeah, because the images we had to go by didn't allow us to see that. You know, they were the good hair images, the light skin images. You know, the shampoo was for the blonde hair. You know, on TV, the advertising. You know, I actually thought that they had some shampoo to make your hair bouncy. I think my head and shoulders and stuff like that. I wondered if my hair, if I washed my hair in that, would it be bouncy and straight?
Wow.
You know, so like images, you never saw yourself or your image on TV.
That's
so you had nothing to look up to or hold yourself to a certain standard. So, but we begin to find out, you know, with advertising and then Johnson & Johnson's Whole Grain and Apple Seed. But we made it.
Yeah, we did make it. We're going to have another topic on colorism because, like, even like me, as in my complexion, you know, I would always wonder, where do I fall in? Because I'm not, you know, extremely light, you know, and I'm not dark skinned. I mean, I'm dark, but, you know, I'm not like a chocolate dark. So, like, I'm like maybe a mocha or something. So, even in that aspect, I would always say, well, where do I fit in? Because sometimes I didn't even see my own complexion sometimes on TV. And so that, I tried to figure out where I fit into the mix. Like, if I wasn't this one, I wasn't that one, where do I fit in? But that's a different topic. You know, you know, with colorism and stuff. But I want to talk that one. We're definitely going to come back on that one, you know, somewhere down the line for sure. Because, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people talk about it, but it's something that, you know, needs to be talked about. And I think no matter what, we need to accept us for who we are, you know. But anyway, again, you know, I'm going off track.
But we were talking about the amazing man, you know, your father was, and, you know, he had to get his release because, you know, the opportunities he didn't have, you know. And I think people who live a long time could see the change. And even though we were living in times that weren't perfect, it was better than times he experienced in his youth. And it was also a time to take advantage of what gains that were, you know, given to us.
Right, because he was born in 1910, and I remember he told me one time during the Great Depression, he was selling sugar. And I didn't really, I couldn't put two and two together, like, but it makes sense because of the year that he was born. And, you know, and so from even that younger time, he had to do what he had to do to sell sugar and butter or something, you know, stuff like that. You know?
Yeah. And it was probably a market for it because a lot of stores weren't around. And if you carry these to the, you know, houses, you know, was with good walking distance or driving distance. You know, probably a market for carrying these things out to these areas where these people live far, you what? Know, and couldn't get it if they needed it, you know, right away.
You know, wow.
So that probably was an entrepreneurial spirit back then, too.
Right. So you see, we have some entrepreneurial, we have that spirit on our bloodline. So, you know, I mean, I'm looking into some things, you know, with the podcast and some other things, but I don't want to go into detail about it now, but eventually it'll come out. So, but yeah, I want to be mindful of your time. Are there any other words that you would like to say to the audience?
No, I just hope they keep listening, and I'm hoping what we're saying to people is helping them and they can identify, you know, and in entrepreneurship, you know, whether you're rich or poor, the fact that you come up with an idea and you don't break the law and you just make it life better for yourself and your family, yeah. You know, it's not just for the rich, it's for the everyday man and woman too, you know. So just continue to strive forward, you know, and I look forward to you having me again. And, you know, we continue to talk about quite a few topics. There's a lot of things out there, you know, we can sort of touch bases on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just in this podcast, we've touched on quite a few topics, you know, that you know, I'm going to be allowed to talk on. Because when I first started this podcast, I was like, Lord, what am I going to talk about? I'm not as interesting as such and such. But I see that as I'm doing it more and more ideas are coming out. And I know that this is truly from the Lord, you know.
Yeah, let the Lord lead you. The Lord will lead you. You leave the rest to me, he said. You just do with your part.
That's right. I know that's right. So, but all right, Deborah, I just want to thank you. And I just want to thank everyone for taking the time out to listen to the Old Clap Lady podcast. You all can always comment on my podcast, or you can send me emails if you would like to join a discussion, or if you have any questions or comments, you can send an email to ohclaplady, that's O-H-C-L-A-P as in Peter, L-A-D as in dog, Y, O-H-C-L-A-P-L-A-D-Y at outlook.com. And again, I want to thank you all. Thank you, Deborah, so much. And I look forward to having another discussion with you. Good night, everyone.
All right. You take care now.
You too. Good night.
Bye-bye.